All right, welcome back to the Fit-ish Project with your host, as always, Lathan Bass. I am super excited for this episode. We're changing it up a little bit. We got our first guest on the podcast, my boy, Davin Roach. Just a little bit about Davin. Been friends for a long time. I think, over a decade now, like 12 years or something like that. Played football together. We had the same major in college together, so we had a ton of classes together. We were roommates for a while, even lived together. He's one of my very best friends, someone who I think extremely highly of just because of the person that he is, his work ethic, his go-get-it mentality, and his willingness to always help other people. So super excited to get in this one. Welcome, Davin Roach.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, Lathan. I mean, this is exciting, and I think we're going on lucky number 13. You know, I think we met in 2011, and this is lucky number 13. So I'm excited to be on here, especially being the first guest, very humbled, gratified, and you know, really just impressed with everything that you're doing with this podcast and, you know, your business and everything that you're promoting. I think you're promoting a really good way to live and a great lifestyle. And I love it, man.
Perfect. Perfect. Love to hear it. So I just want to start this out. Just give the listeners a little context and a little background. Obviously, I know all about your life, but we got to let the people know about your story. You've had a pretty wild ride. You've kind of been all over the place just in terms of like location and different jobs at different levels and things like that. So I just wanted you to give us a little bit of background on like why you chose strength and conditioning in the first place and kind of, you know, your journey up to this far.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I started at Co, getting introduced to strength and conditioning with Coach Matt Walter and Cody Myers. You know, those two men just being a great example for young men like us when we were playing football. You know, but it probably even started further back for me, you know, when I was a high school athlete in Colorado and going to visit my dad in New York, and we would train in the summers and just kind of work out and do some things. So it probably really manifested there first. But it really grew when I got to Co because, you know, you get to Co, you're playing football, you think you're a good athlete, and then all of a sudden you're not playing at all. And so for me, you know, the weight room and strength training and training in general was my kind of place where I could even the playing field, so to speak. I knew the harder that I worked there, the better athlete I was going to become, the stronger I was going to become. And it just really translated to me on the field as well. You know, while I was learning the game of football the right way, I could train super hard. And that's what kind of made me catch up to some of those guys that were more developed than me, that were ahead of their time. So for me, you know, it was a great equalizer. So that's initially what got me into strength and conditioning. As far as my journey on this path, it's been kind of crazy. You know, I started with you wanting to be a high school teacher, high school kind of strength coach, PE teacher, and a coach. And I did that for 1 year in Dixon, Illinois. I was a teacher and a strength trainer. And basically after 1 year of being in the public school education system, I was like, you know, this just isn't quite the competitive environment that I like. I want to go back to the collegiate route. So I took an internship at Montana State University under Jeff Tremper and Alex Wilcox. And that led into a graduate assistant position. That led into an assistant position. From there, I became a head strength coach at St. Norbert College, which is a D3 school in Wisconsin. During my time there, COVID happened. I got put on furlough, so I did an internship with the University of Iowa and the University of Notre Dame. And then I got the head strength job at Missouri Southern State in Joplin, Missouri. So I was there for a little bit less than 6 months, and then the University of Notre Dame called me. And I worked there for about 2 years, and now I'm kind of in between things, looking for some more work. So it's kind of the life of a strength coach. You move around a lot. And it's been great, man. I've got to influence a lot of kids, a lot of athletes, and kind of have my mark on them, so to speak. And I think that's great. You know, I've been able to reach a wide variety of people, and I just go where I'm needed.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. So, I mean, I think about, you know, that comment you made about just the equalizer of strength and conditioning. And I feel that way pretty strongly about fitness as well. Obviously, for the listeners who don't know, Davin is, he's not the biggest, most imposing dude you've ever met, you know? So I think being able to get in the weight room and make up for, you know, maybe some size things with like strength and speed and those sorts of things is really cool. And I think fitness kind of has that same thing where like, you can get in the gym, you can get in the weight room, you know, you can get outside and exercise and really turn yourself into the person that you want to be, whether that's physically, whether that's mentally. It's just such a great way to just develop yourself and develop your character overall, which I think is, you know, one of the biggest pulls towards strength and conditioning and then just fitness in general. And then just talking about, you know, you're moving all around and things like that. Obviously, like, you've had a very diverse experience, which has been, you know, really cool to just be a part of and pick your brain a little bit on different situations and things like that. So I guess my next question for you is just like, from just a life perspective, like, what are some of your biggest takeaways in these last 10 years? You know, maybe like 2 to 3 things that you learned from being all over the place. I think you've moved how many times at this point, like 9 or 10 times? You've been kind of all over the country and just done different things. So obviously, you know, you've had a very diverse array of experiences. And I know you, you know, you're a big time learner and always trying to learn things and pick up things. So what would you say two of your like 2 or 3 biggest takeaways just over the last decade of, you know, doing this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, number one has got to be, you know, your work ethic and the time that you put in, you know, how diligent you are to stick towards that work ethic is going to trump almost anything, you know. So if you're willing to work hard, I think you're willing to learn, and I think you're willing to be persistent. That's going to trump a lot of people who are more talented, who are probably more qualified than you, you know, who maybe have different experiences. I think if you have really high work ethic and you're just persistent as hell, you're going to get and reach a lot of goals almost by surprise. You know, you just stick to it every single day and just be very diligent in your hard work and persevere in what you're trying to do. And you'll stack days up, and before you know it, you're reaching goals that you never thought were possible. You know, another thing that I would say is life's not easy, and it's never going to come out to the way that you expect it to be. You know, we have all these expectations on how we want this to look or this to look, and we're trying to fit in a perfect model. It never works that way. And I think if you just have faith in yourself and faith in the universe and in God, like, things will work out. But you have to have faith in yourself, you know, knowing that the hard work and the perseverance that you're putting in, it's going to pay off. And it might not look exactly how you want it to be, but that's okay. You have to find love and passion in your daily tasks. You know, and kind of the last thing that I would say is the knowledge that you gain through your life experience is important, but nobody really cares about what you know until they know how much you care. And that's probably true for every single person on this planet, that you're really going to connect with people when you show them how much you care about them. And they're going to connect with you when they know that you care about that relationship, right? And the more time that you put into that, the better that it's going to be for those relationships. You know, if you show people that you care, and I'm not just talking about athletes, I'm talking about, you know, friendships, you know, personal relationships, family. If you show people that you care, they're going to give you their time and their effort. You know, the knowledge that you can give those people is great, but you got to show them that you care first before you can give them any knowledge or understanding. You know, so care about what you do, work really hard at it, be diligent, and understand it's never going to come out exactly how you expect it to be.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Especially, I mean, the relationship thing is something that we talk about often. And I think life is all about relationships. If you don't have relationships, if you don't have connection, then, I mean, what do you really have? So that's just important in all facets of life. But then the other two things that you mentioned, too, I love those, too, just because, like, you know, having the right persistence, but then also having the right expectations, which I think is something that a lot of people get wrong in fitness, especially just because, like, for example, people will come in with this idea of, like, in athletics as well, like, they come in with this idea of, like, okay, I'm going to play right away, I'm going to do this, or they come into their fitness journey and they're like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds in the first month. And those things don't happen because they don't have the right expectations. And then that's where, you know, that persistence thing comes in. They, like, come in with these wrong expectations. Things don't really pan out the way they want them to. And now they're like, well, screw this, I'm not going to do this. Or they, you know, they jump ship or they just quit altogether. So I think, number one, having the right expectations and not, like, necessarily expecting things are going to go exactly how you want, because they won't. Like, we both know that very well. There's going to be hiccups in the journey. There's going to be things that come up where you're like, damn, I was not expecting this. And then you kind of have to roll with it. So, you know, and then just being able to be persistent when those things do come up, because you can guarantee it's not going to be smooth sailing all the time. There's going to be things that come up where you're just completely blindsided. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be, you know, days where you want to quit. There's going to be days where you're just wondering, what the heck am I even doing? So I think being able to just have that mindset going in is extremely important, like, whether it's fitness, whether it's athletics, whether it's life, you know, any of those certain things.
Well, and it's that instant gratification, right? Like, everybody wants the before and after picture, and they want it within a week. You know, they want it within a day. They want it within a month. And that's just not the way things work in life, unfortunately. Like, most millionaires didn't make, you know, self-made millionaires didn't make their money overnight. They did it by stacking days on top of each other, then weeks, then months, then years, you know, and however you need to break it down. I think it's really important to break down each, you know, whatever your goals are, break it down to daily goals or daily tasks, break it down to weekly tasks, break it down to monthly tasks, then yearly, then every 5 years, then 10 years, you know, and those things are really important, because it's going to be a better journey too when you've invested that much time to learn it and do it the right way. You know, like, you're a prime example. You know, your weight loss journey didn't happen overnight, you know, and you probably got a lot of criticisms along the way. Like, why are you doing that? You can't play when you're that small. Why are you thinking to do this? Like, you know, knocking you time and time again, like, oh, that's going to take too much time. You don't want to do that. And to stick on the path and say, no, here's my daily goals. Okay, I met my weekly goals. Now let's just do that again and just do that again and do it again. And if you can do it for, I mean, hell, if you can do it for 40 out of 50 weeks or 52 weeks, whatever it is in a year, you're going to have a tremendous gain that almost looks like it happened overnight, but it didn't. It happened through weeks and weeks of preparation, days of preparation. And I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because, you know, I say, you know, 1% better. That's my whole thing that I always talk about, something that I picked up from James Clear. You always talk about doing the little things. And I think that that mindset is so helpful, because it is hard when you look at, you know, the long-term goals. Like, you know, you're talking about my experience with my weight loss journey, and like, yeah, people don't realize that yet. You know, I lost 75 pounds within the first 15 months, but then this has really been like a 7-year project. You know, I'm in the best shape that I've ever been, but I didn't get that way in a year. I didn't get that way in 2 years. I didn't get that way in 3 years. Like, this is like a 5+ year thing that I've been working at, just trying to get a little bit better each day, you know, and just do the right things. And I think, you know, going back to you, like, that's why I wanted to have you on this podcast as well, because your journey is a prime testament to that as well. You know, like, people look at you and they see, like, you've just slowly climbed your way up the ladder, and they look at you and they see these things that you've been able to accomplish and these, you know, positions that you've been blessed to be in. And it's not like these things just happened overnight. They didn't see all the internships. They didn't see all the 4 a.m. mornings. They didn't see all the 16-hour days. Like, they didn't see you moving across the country 7 or 8 times, but then they look up and they see, oh, there's Davin on TV, or, you know, there's Davin in this position, like, you know, doing all these really cool things. So I think, you know, number one, like, being able to be persistent and have that mindset to just focus on those daily things, because if you can do those daily things, you know, those long-term goals are going to take care of themselves.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, it seemed like it happened overnight. Like, oh, hey, I went to college with this kid, and oh shit, there he is on NBC or whatever, you know? And it's funny because, you know, some people look at that and they go, man, like, I know him, like, how did he do that? You know, but at the same time, like, they also look at me, and this might be a negative light, they go, well, if he can do that, I can do that, you know? And some of them are like, well, he's just an ordinary guy. Like, how did he do that? You know, whatever. But at the same time, it's some of it's luck, right? And timing. Timing matters a lot in life, a lot more than I think people realize. But it's also just being persistent. And whether I was going to be on that channel or not doesn't really matter. Like, I still reached one of my ultimate goals in life, which, you know, I don't think a lot of people can say, like, that they've lived a childhood dream out, you know, and it just takes diligence and perseverance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, it's such a big thing, because, like, you know, obviously we know each other very well, you know, we're very good friends, and like, we know our backgrounds, and we both come from pretty humble beginnings, and we didn't have a lot of advantages or anything like that. And so I think it is nice when you do see examples of people like that. Like, I'm not special, you're not special, but like, when you're able to do those little things, and they're not anything crazy, you know, it's not like we're like super gifted or super smart or super talented. Like, we just work hard and we have goals, and we just, you know, put our best foot forward and we just try to do our best. It's not like we're not making mistakes along the way. And I think when you get those examples of people like that, and you see people accomplishing things that you want to do, it just gives other people confidence. So I really, really like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, we've been friends for a long time, and maybe that's another cheat to life, is you can't do this whole thing on your own. There has to be people that you lean on in some facet or another to get through these hard things. You know, so for some people, it's family. For some people, it's their spouse. Some it's old teammates, old friends. But like, don't be afraid to lean on those people, because at the end of the day, like, we all need people, you know, and we need each other in order to grow. You know, it's kind of like having a great training partner. When you have a great training partner, all of a sudden your training just spikes through the roof. The same thing is true about life too. When you have people that you're willing to learn on and help with this journey, it's just going to really help you grow. And, you know, maybe that's something else that I've learned throughout this is I kind of talked about relationships, but having those relationships when you need them too are important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a super good point too, just because like, I would say, you know, both of us are fairly independent. We like, you know, kind of doing our own thing sometimes, and we don't have a problem with, you know, putting in the work alone, but you're always going to go further when you have those people alongside of you, when you have those people you can lean on, when you have the good training partner, when you have the coach that's going to push you a little bit, when you have that person in your corner that you can call, you know, whenever you need help or things like that. So I think, you know, for anybody who's got any kind of, whether it's an athletic goal, you know, a fitness goal, or just a life goal, just finding some of those people that you can count on. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you need 100 people or you need a bunch of people. Like if you have one or two solid people in your corner, that's really all you need. But that can make all the difference, because like we've said already, like things are going to get hard no matter what you're doing, like no matter what the goal is, no matter, you know, what path you're on, like you're going to have some challenges. So to be able to, you know, turn, look in your corner and have that one or two people there who you know are going to have your back and going to be able to pick you up a little bit, I think is super key.
For sure. For sure, man. And you hit the nail on the head there.
Well, I mean, getting into a little bit more of the like strength and conditioning side of things, just thinking about, and obviously this is called the Fit-ish Project, and I know you've worked at all different levels, just as far as like strength and conditioning, you know, the high school level, college level, at different levels, like all the way up to D1. But I always like to think in terms of just like, you know, general people, just people who are just trying to get a little bit more fit, who are trying to be a little bit more active for life and things like that. But obviously you have a very good, you know, knowledge of that thing. So just from your perspective, what do you think like more average or like general population people could use more of, just from like a strength and conditioning perspective?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's to still train like you're an athlete. You know, it's still to train like you're going to do athletic movements, because more often than not, you don't realize it. Life is all about different athletic movements, you know, picking something up, setting it down, reaching up in the cupboard, jumping in a pool, you know, all those things, jumping, running, walking, fast walking, hiking. Like if you have balance, coordination, speed, strength, power, things that athletes have, it's still going to benefit your life tremendously. So from that standpoint, don't be afraid to do movements like running and jumping, sprinting, just because you don't think you need it because you're not an athlete. You know, it's not just about high repetition. You know, I love when people say, well, I just want to tone. I don't want to get strong. Well, you have to get strong in order to truly tone. Like your muscle size has to increase a little bit in order to get the tone that you want to get. So I always find that kind of funny, you know, is I think general population needs a base level of strength. They need a base level of conditioning, and they need to still train like an athlete, because you're going to find that in your life, you're going to be more fulfilled when you're like, holy crap, I just went and picked this thing up and I didn't even feel it. It's because you're strong. It's because you jumped with that same amount of weight in your hands the other day. You know, it's because you can run with that now. So I think overall strength is very, very important for the general population. I was reading a study that, you know, it's a correlation, not a causation, right? It's a correlation between training and health. And they were saying that people who have a larger grip size or a better grip strength tend to have less heart issues or have better heart health, right? Mm-hmm. But basically they're saying if you strength train and you train, your heart and your body is pumping blood, and that's good for your aerobic system. So you don't have to just do conditioning in order to get health gains. So, you know, do some strength training and train like an athlete a little bit, and I think you'll have a really fulfilled life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, you know, like perfect. You hit on all the right things there. And I think it's very easy now with like, you know, with social media, you see your favorite influencer, or you see your favorite athlete, or you see your favorite, you know, this or that celebrity or whatever, and you see them and you're like, oh, I want to look like them, so I'm going to train like them. And it's like, well, that's not really how it works. You know, you can train like them as like all you want, but you're not necessarily going to look, you know, like that person. I think beyond that too, like, yeah, I think it's great if you have aesthetic goals and you want to look a certain way, But like what's really going to be able to, you know, give you that fulfillment in life is, like you said, being able to do all the things you want to do. I remember, you know, working as a personal trainer back when I was doing like in-person sessions with all different types of people. I'd have, you know, middle-aged people, I'd have senior citizens, I'd have all different types of people. And even now, like doing the online fitness thing, I'll have people. And one of the most common things that people say is like, I want to be able to play with my kids. I want to be able to get on the ground and like do different things like that. And like the easiest way to do that is to strength train, is to, you know, be active, is to have a variety of different things. And, you know, I think we've all kind of fallen into different camps. I know me personally, like there was a time where I was just like, I was just worried about getting as yoked as possible. Like, I just want to be big. I just want to be strong. I just want to look the part, you know, but then like you get on the basketball court or something like that and you're like, damn, I can't even move anymore. So then I had to kind of switch up a little bit, and it's not like, you know, I still do those things, and I still, you know, I'll go hit some curls or whatever and, you know, do that whole part and have some fun with it. But like, I think finding ways to be more, you know, functional, as we like to say, and just doing some of those things and getting strong is really important, because if you don't do those things, you're not going to be able to live the quality of life that you want. You're not going to be able to play with your kids. Or, you know, I was just recently in Denver and we went on a hike, and I was talking to my buddy while we were on the hike. It was like a 6 mile hike, so nothing like crazy, but I was like, man, when I was 300 pounds, I would not have enjoyed this at all. Like, I would have been just huffing and puffing going up this mountain, like not really enjoying myself. But because like I've made a priority of getting strong, of, you know, conditioning, like I run now, I do cardio now, I do those things, like it was a breeze getting up that, and I could enjoy, you know, being outdoors, I could enjoy the company with my buddy, have a good conversation and not be sucking wind and thinking how bad this freaking sucks right now. So I love that.
Well, and you hit it on the head too, like who doesn't want to play with their kids? And you know, who's not competitive enough to want to dominate their kids? Like, you know, nothing is more humbling than when you're in your 40s or 50s and you're still dominating your, you know, 16 to 20, whatever year old, you know, and that's just fun, you know, and who doesn't want to go walk 18 holes of golf and be able to play with no issues, no back pain, no, you know, no wrist pain, shoulder pain, you're just healthy and fit. So, I mean, absolutely. Who doesn't want those things in life?
I'm right there with you. I mean, that's the goal. Like one day when we have kids and we'll be out there playing them 2-on-2, dunking on them and showing them how to play and still showing them that we can move around. I can't wait for those days. But yeah, that's, I mean, I think that's the ultimate thing. And it's like, I think a lot of it too is like, it's one of those things that like, until you're in that situation, you don't realize how much that means to you. Like if you are the person who's like, you know, you can't go on the hike or you can't do the things with your kids, and then it really hits you and you're like, man, I wish I would train more. I wish I would, you know, prioritize my health and fitness. But those are the moments that really matter. So I think being proactive about that. And then the other thing too, that we talked about is like, you know, just getting a good coach. Obviously we've both been in coaching forever. And even if it's not a coach, get around somebody who knows what they're doing and who can encourage you, who can maybe teach you a few things, because it can be a little, you know, if you're somebody like a general pop person, if you're just an average person who maybe doesn't have a big training background, maybe you were never an athlete, like that stuff, it can be intimidating. Like one of the things that I hear a lot from fitness clients when I start working with them is like, I don't feel super comfortable in the gym. And like, for me, like I was not super comfortable when I first got started. But like after that first year, like I was hooked. You know, like I was in there. And I think people have to kind of get over that fear a little bit and understand that that's normal. You're going to be a little uncomfortable. You're not going to know exactly what you're doing, and that's fine. But like being able to figure that out and kind of persevere through that and get over that initial hump is going to have so much more benefit down the line than you could ever even imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, jumping off a cliff, you into the pool water, you just got to go. The more you think about it, the more that it's going to eat you away. And you know, maybe that's another life hack, or that's another thing in life that everybody's got to learn, is at some point you have to face your fears and you have to face your anxieties. And the more that you do it head on and just full of steam, the more that you're just going to feel more comfortable with it, you know, and that's true for training, but that's true for a job. That's true for being scared of something, you know, having a fear. I think a lot of people, you know, if you're afraid to talk to somebody about something, just go in there and say, I need to talk to you about something, and just be truly brutal and honest with them, you know, because at the end of the day, like, they're not living what's in your head. You are, you know, and you're the only one that's punishing from it. So just face your fears head on and just go for it, because it's going to be worth it in the end. It's going to be worth it because you're going to improve and face your fears with, you know, just a full head of steam.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I think as you get older, you kind of realize there's really no way around it. Like, eventually, you just got to do it. Like, there's no, like, you know, you can read about push-ups as much as you want. You can watch videos on push-ups as much as you want. Like, you can go talk to people who do a lot of push-ups. But, like, until you start doing the push-ups, you're never going to get better at push-ups, right? Like, whatever the thing is, whatever that thing that, you know, is in the back of your head, or that thing that you've been thinking about doing, or maybe, you know, taking that chance or getting into fitness or going for that job, or, you know, talking to that person that you're scared to talk to. Like, those are the things that are going to move the needle. But, you know, until you do those things, you're just going to be sitting there just thinking about, oh, what if this happens? Or what if this happens? And, like, you're wasting all this energy and you're wasting this time. And this is something that I see a ton in fitness. Like, people, they get out of shape, or like they're scared to get started, and they're like, well, I don't know what to do now because, like, I'm super out of shape. I'm not like where I want to be. And it's like, okay, it's good that you acknowledge that, but like, now what are we going to do? Because, like, you're only making the problem worse now. Like, the best time to plant a tree was, you know, 20 years ago. The next best time is today. So, like, you can either make that decision and start going today, or you can continue to let that problem get worse, continue to let that problem grow. And now, like, it's going to be even harder down the road when you do make that decision to continue to, you know, get started and try to make some improvements. So it's hard. Like, I'm not saying it's not, but, like, those uncomfortable situations, those, you know, use that fear a little bit as a compass as to what you should go towards, because every time you go through those little things, like, you're only getting stronger.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to nerd out a little bit, and I'm going to use a reference. You know, in Star Wars, basically the whole premise of the movies and those shows is a Jedi doesn't really become a Jedi until he faces his fears head on. You know, and once they do that, and they find what they fear, which is, you know, the dark side, so to speak, and once they face that head on, then they become a Jedi. You know, like, you can't become the person you want to become until you face those fears head on and get over that hump. Once you do that, you'll be the person you want to become, and you do it again and again and again, and then before you know it, you're a master.
Yeah, I love that. Love the Star Wars reference. And I think, you know, I heard something a couple of weeks ago. I was listening to a podcast, and this guy said something that just stuck out to me immediately. And he said, adversity is an advantage. And I was just like, I had to pause the podcast. And I just literally was on a walk, and I just had to think about it for a couple of minutes, because I'm like, adversity is an advantage. And I'm like, duh, like, that's obvious when you think about it. But, like, so often we try to stray away from things that are hard, or things that scare us, or things that we may fail at. Like, we're scared of those things in the moment. And we know, like, on the other side of those things is where the most growth happens. Like, we don't grow when things are easy. We don't grow when we're always winning. We don't grow when things are just smooth and, like, easy all the time. Like, that's not when we grow. We grow when we do hard things, like when we do fail sometimes, when we do go through those challenges. So just to think about, like, okay, if I'm the type of person who does want to get better, I do want to achieve my goals, I do want to continue to improve, I do want to help other people, well, then it's just, we have to expect that we're going to go through some hard things. And I think when you make that little, that perspective shift of just understanding, okay, this is hard, I am nervous, like, I am a little bit scared, but then reframing that a little bit and thinking, okay, this is actually a good thing, because I know on the other side of this, like, things are going to be better.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree, man. It's good stuff.
Well, getting into the next question that I had for you, I was kind of curious. So, like, we talked about, you know, like, what general population or just kind of average people should be doing just as far as training. What are some of the things that you think, like, people are most challenged with? So, like, I know you've coached, again, on a lot of different levels that as we've mentioned, like high school, college. Like, what are some of the common struggles or the challenges that you see with people? And this could be, like, physical challenges. We talked about that a little bit, but this could also be, like, from a mindset perspective, from a lifestyle perspective. Like, well, just what are some of those biggest challenges that you think people deal with?
Yeah, so I'll start kind of more in, like, the movement or kind of the physical area. People struggle with good quality movement. You know, they struggle with getting in good ranges of motion. I think a lot of it has to do with probably more inactivity with our population now, especially at a younger age. You know, kids don't necessarily play as much as they used to. There's a lot more screen time. So, you know, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, make your kids go play. You know, if you are a young adult, get off the iPad and go play, go do something. You know, and if you're an adult, same thing, get off your butt, go play. You know, it's important that you get out and you move, you know, and the more that you move, the better you're going to move, you know, especially through certain ranges of motion. So that's something that I've seen through athletes physically is quality of movement, basic skills that you think most people should have by that age. Maybe they don't have or they missed. And I think it's important as coaches to have not necessarily a movement screening process, but an overall screening process, assessing strength, assessing body weight strength, those type of things in order to meet people where they are. So that's number one. As far as a kind of lifestyle, I kind of tied that into it a little bit already with the amount of screen time and the amount of inactivity as being a problem. You know, I think that's a major problem. But then there's also, especially in today's society, there's this understanding that you're supposed to do everything. And that you're supposed to be good at everything that you do. And, you know, the Instagram lifestyle should be my lifestyle, which adds this extra side of anxiety. You know, you're not supposed to do everything or get to do everything. You know, there's going to be times in your life that you don't get to travel as much as you wanted to. And you're going to have to buckle down and really focus on just a few things and be really good at those few things. And then you can expand and maybe, you know, do some things later on. But I think that there's this mindset or this lifestyle that people think that they should be good at everything and they should be doing everything. And that's really, really hard to do. Even, you know, the one percenters of wealth, they'll tell you that they don't do everything. They're not going to Fiji every weekend, you know, and enjoying their yacht. You know, they maybe do that once, twice a year. You know, like I like to use LeBron James as an example. You see him in everything. He's in movies, television, ads. He created a school. He did all this stuff. He plays basketball. Like he is amazing on and off the court. He didn't start out that way. You know, he started out as a guy who was just playing basketball and just good at basketball. And then he expanded his Nike brand. And then he started doing stuff with his wealth, like creating a school. And then he got into advertising and then he got into show business. Like he didn't start off doing everything. So don't think that you have to do everything right now. Start off with a few things, get really good at a few things, and then expand your repertoire. And that's kind of a mind style or mindset slash lifestyle thing, you know. And then the social media, you know, Instagram, this person's having a great life. Look at them, you know, working on the road remotely from home and they're traveling the world and they're doing all this. I promise you that same person that you're looking at has just as many demons or skeletons in your closet as you do. Don't fall into that trap. Like their life is always happy. And, you know, don't fall into the trap that everything they do is great or that everything you do is supposed to be great. That's not life. It's going to be hard. You're going to struggle. You're going to need people like Lathan Bass to lean on, like I've had in my life. And don't be afraid to lean on those people. So, you know, those are some common challenges, you know, physical, mindset, lifestyle, kind of a holistic approach to everything. And just don't be afraid to focus and buckle down on a few things.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think, you know, talking about that last piece there that you mentioned a little bit, it's very easy, like you said, especially now with social media. And I enjoy social media. I like social media, but it also brings about its certain challenges for sure. And like you said, you get the snapshots of all the good stuff, but you never see the bad. And one thing that I heard a quote and it said, like, if you are going to like compare yourself to somebody, like you have to compare your entire story to their entire story. And unless you would completely swap lives, like, let's say, you know, you talked about LeBron James. Do you want to be a person who can never, ever go out in public because you're going to get mobbed by people? Do you want to like spend, you know, all this time, like he spends all his waking hours, like training and eating and focusing on like, you know, keeping his body in shape? Like, do you want to get all the criticism that he's gotten for the last 20 years? Like, do you want to deal with all these different things that he has going on, like, and never really have a ton of control over your time? Like, there's trade-offs for everything. And I think oftentimes we just want to like pick and choose. It's like, oh, I want his athleticism, but I don't want all the problems that come along with this. Or I want to be as fit as this guy, but you don't see that guy who's, you know, super fit and like he's got really bad body image, like issues or body dysmorphia, or he's like not going out with his friends because he's scared he's going to gain an ounce of fat. Or you don't see like the female who's like scared to get in the gym because somebody may say something to her, or like there's just all these different things that you just have no idea what's really going on, just as far as like you know, their backstory or like what's going on in their mind. So to just sit there and compare only the good things just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then, you know, like you were saying, just with like things going through seasons, I love that because I think that's just life in general. You know, things come and go in seasons. And I talk about a lot just as far as fitness wise, like being able to find that balance. But that balance is going to shift. Like it's not always, you know, right here directly in the middle. Like I'm a person who I really like to be active. I like to get in the gym. I like to do all those things. But I also like to go out with my friends. I like to go out to eat. I like to go, you know, have some drinks and things like that. But it's not like there's just like a certain, you know, those things are always moving, right? It's not like I just get to do all those things at once. Like, you know, I'm fairly regimented throughout the week. And then on the weekend, if I want to go do some things like and have some fun and have some extra food and eat some extra calories, like it's about finding those different seasons in life. It's not about being exactly balanced, because what's balanced for me might be different for you, might be different from somebody else. And just like understanding that those things do come and go in different waves, and it's not always going to be necessarily balanced, but what's balanced for you is going to be different from somebody else.
Yeah, and I've definitely seen this uptick and increase in, you know, people call it FOMO, you know, this fear of like they're missing out on something, like, oh, if I don't do this, I'm missing it, or I'm missing out. Like, no, you're only missing out on the things that you think are important to you. Find out what's truly, truly important to you. Write them down, you know, and make sure you don't miss out on those things, you know. And if work is not something that's important to you and you're just working for life, make sure that you're spending the time necessary on life, right? And we all have to work, and some people want a little bit more money than others so that they can have a little bit different life. Just write down what's important to you, like what truly is going to balance your life and make you feel like you're not missing out. And we all have that at times. You know, we see the buddies getting together in some place that we wish we were. I think we just had a friend group that was down in Florida, and we're like, damn, I know you were. I was like, man, I wish I was down there with those boys, you know. Yeah. And you wish you could just see everybody and do everything. But the reality is you can't. And, you know, you're going to be very disappointed if you keep overreaching and trying to do that. You know, find the things that are going to balance your life and make you happy, and lean on those things. And just remember that you're not perfect and you're not going to get it all in one shot. You know, even yeah. This podcast, like we're talking and someone's going to listen to this and they're going to be like, oh man, like Nathan's got it all figured out. Like, look at that. He's got it all figured out. Like, hell no. Like, we deal with our issues just as much as anybody else. And sometimes I handle, and probably not sometimes, but a lot of times I probably handle my issues terribly, you know, but you just recognize it and you try to be better the next time. That's all you can do, is do your absolute best with what you're trying to do, and it'll work out. But don't be afraid to miss out on anything, because the only thing that you're going to miss out on is the things that you don't prioritize.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's such a great point. And to confirm, Davin, we do not have it all figured out. Absolutely not. I think we call each other about on a weekly basis, like, damn, like, what are we doing here? Like, what, are we going to be all right? You know, all those things. But no, I think it's, I think you're exactly right. I think it comes back to, as we touched on a little bit, like the expectations. And then what you said is like the values. Like, if you don't have your values in place, it's very hard to like set your target on something, because if you just, you know, you think you want this, or you think you want this. And like, I always relate everything back to fitness, and like, this happens all the time in fitness as well. Like, somebody will come to me and they're like, I want to lose 40 pounds. I inquire a little bit, like, why? Like, what's the reason you want to lose 40 pounds? And it's not just because you saw this person over here who lost 40 pounds and, you know, you think they look good and all this stuff. Is like, is that what you actually want? Like, what are the reasons that you want to come in? Because I think a lot of people, again, they just have skewed expectations on what they really want. And like, is it something that you actually want, or is it something that, you know, kind of sounds nice? Because a lot of things sound nice, like, you know, having a mansion sounds nice, having a bunch of cars sounds nice, like having a, you know, being able to go on vacation all the time sounds nice. But do I want to work 16-hour days every day, like 7 days a week? No, I don't want to do that. So like, I think being very just upfront and open and honest with yourself about what you actually value. And then once you have those values in place, it makes making all those other decisions and, you know, maybe not worrying so much about the things you're missing out on and, you know, what this person is doing or that person is doing, so much easier. Because again, it's just very easy to look at different people and see the different things that they have going on and be like, dang, I want that. I want that. Well, do you want the, you know, the problems that come with that? Do you want the work that comes with that? Like, do you want all these other things that come along with those things, or does it just sound good? Because if you don't have your values in place, again, it's very easy. You're just like, I want this, I want this, I want this. But it's like, nah, no, you don't. Like, you know, we've had the athlete that comes to us and like, coach, I want to be a starter this year. Knowing damn well that kid didn't put in any work in the off season. That kid has been skipping. That kid has been late. Or like, I have a person that comes to me and they're like, you know, I want to get a six pack, or like, I want to build a ton of muscle. And it's like, okay, like we can do that, but you got to understand what comes with that and understand, like, if that's something that you actually value and you're ready to work for, then absolutely you can have that. But if you're not, then be okay with, you know, not having those things and be okay with being where you're at and going on your own path.
Well, and it all comes down to, you know, kind of like one word, and it's, you know, you have a choice. You know, your choices that you make matter. And if you're choosing to do something, just realize that those choices always come with consequences, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't really matter. Whatever you're choosing in life, it's going to come with baggage on one end or the other, and you're not going to get away from it, you know. And like my strength and conditioning journey, being in my profession, I'm just going to use me as an example. Like, those choices required me to move a lot, and I had to be okay with that and have that understanding that if I'm going to do this, I have to be ready to move, you know, and I have to be ready to go wherever the job is. And that choice is something that I've chosen to do. A lot of people are not okay with moving. They think that they are, but they don't really hit that with themselves. They don't look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, is this what I truly, truly am choosing? Is this what I truly want? You know, and like you mentioned it with the fitness goals, you know, it's funny because I was just talking to a person and they were at one job and they loved all their coworkers, but they didn't love the area. So they were like, you know, I'm going to move to a different job. And now they don't like any of their coworkers and they love the area, but they want to move again because they hate all their coworkers. And it's like, well, wait a second. I thought you chose to move because you didn't have, and they didn't have administrative support, because you didn't have boss support and you wanted a better area. Well, now you have boss support and a better area, but now your coworkers suck. So which is it? You know, you're going to have to make choices. And what is more important to you? Is it having a great boss and shitty coworkers, or is it having a substandard boss and great coworkers? I don't know the answer. You have to choose that. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of funny because it's part of life. You learn those things throughout the way, but you know, hopefully you can lean on some of people that have already done it and already talked to them and hopefully help you make those choices better. And I think a lot of people are afraid to do that too. They're afraid to ask for help. And they're afraid to lean on people who have already gone through so much life. I mean, go talk to your grandparents, go talk to random people, you know, just see what life experience has got them. And you say this all the time, and I can't agree with it anymore. Life experience is greater than life possessions. You know, get some life experience and ask people who have experience, and they're going to help make your life so much better. And it reminds me of another quote, which is, you know, if I can learn from my mistakes, I'm smart, I'm intelligent. But if I can learn from other people's mistakes, I'm a genius. So try to be a genius and learn from other people's mistakes so that you don't have to make those.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, a couple things that stood out just listening to you there. I think the big thing is, like you said, like, it's your choice. You know, that's the cool thing about life is, like, ultimately it's your choice, but you have to be okay with those choices. Like, I agree too. It's great to get experience. It's great to go talk with other people. It's great to get somebody else's perspective. But at the end of the day, like, you got to figure out what is the right answer for you, because if you're doing it because of this person, or you want this life, like, because it looks good or sounds good, or because you think this person's going to be impressed, or, you know, you're chasing this fitness goal because you think it's going to, you know, make this person like you or whatever, it's like, that's probably not the right route either. But at the end of the day, like, if you have a good grasp on what it is that you value and what it is that you want, and you make that choice, I think ultimately you're going to end up being a lot happier that way.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
One thing that I wanted to ask you, because I think this is something that I think about quite a bit, and I'm just curious to hear your perspective. And, you know, since you've been able to, you know, be at different levels, as I've mentioned a couple times, you've been around really, really good athletes. You've seen guys go and play professional football. You've seen, you know, just a lot of different things. So I'm just very curious as to, like, what have you noticed to be the biggest difference between people who are successful versus ones who really aren't as successful? And, like, I want to kind of define success a little bit here, because I don't necessarily mean success by the most athletic dude or the best athlete or the kids who made it to the league or the people who got the most playing time. I'm talking about success here just as the people who made the most progress and the people who, like, tapped into their potential the most, because I think that's something that we have more control over versus, you know, maybe that other side of things. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would define success as reaching a lot of your landmarks or your particular goals that were, you know, available to you. But then, like you just said, maximizing your potential or maximizing who you are as a person, you know, and I think that's really important. So I'll kind of backtrack after, you know, defining that area of success. And, you know, I have been at a lot of different levels. I've basically worked at every level of NCAA football, you know, Division III, Division II, FCS, and FBS. And I would say the most common characteristic with people that succeed or that maximize who they are is they have a tremendous work ethic, right? And they are willing to put in the work. They're willing to do it diligently day in and day out. And there's off days. Everybody has them, obviously. Like, they're not perfect. But they're willing to come in, okay, it's time for me to work, strap on my shoes, let's go. So that work ethic is, it's really hard to teach because it goes back to what we were just talking about. I think work ethic and working hard is a choice. You know, you can put people in an environment where they have to work hard for sure. And they're either going to fail or not, but at the end of the day, it's still a choice. So I think having that work ethic is important, having that perseverance to do it day in and day out. They're also very, very self-aware. People that are successful are very aware of what their strengths are. They're very aware of what their weaknesses are. And typically people that are successful really build on their strengths. They don't ignore them. They use those as their backbone of who they are. And then they work on their weaknesses in the meantime. And that's true from a mindset perspective. That's true from an athletic perspective, right? Like, if I know that I'm a big, strong lineman, and that's what got me on the field was being big and strong, I'm not going to all of a sudden get lean and fast just because those are my weaknesses. No, that's what got me on the field. That's what got me playing. So let's keep building on those strengths and let's approach those agility weaknesses or those speed weaknesses as I'm building on my strengths. So being very, very self-aware, I think, is important. But the other part of this too that I don't think we've fully mentioned is success or reaching some of those goals, especially as they're external goals. Timing is a big part of it. You know, being able to get into a position where it's your time to shine and it's your time to attack that opportunity don't always come around. For some people, they get a lot of opportunities. Other people, they get one or two. And you have to be willing to capitalize on those opportunities when they come, but you have to be self-aware and be aware of your surroundings too, of when they do come and when they are present, being willing to not be shy about them, but to attack them. You know, don't be scared that when it's your time to shine, that it's your time to shine. Don't be afraid about other people around you or what they're saying. When it's your time and it's your timing, go for it. And if you don't quite get it, maybe it wasn't your timing. Maybe that wasn't the shot. Maybe there's another one coming up. You know, keep having faith in the process and everything else will take care of itself. So, you know, that's kind of what I've seen from super highly successful athletes, super highly successful people that I've worked with too, is that they understand that timing is a lot of it, but they understand that if I don't put in the work, I don't put in the opportunities, and I'm not really sure who I am, that they won't recognize those moments when they come, and they won't be prepared for those moments when they come too. You know, if I want to be an astronaut, I can't just wait for someone to come up and say, hey, you want to be an astronaut today? No, you got to put in the work and the time and keep going at it. And they might not come for years, but when they come, you better be ready and prepared so that you can maximize everything you're doing. You know, it's It's like all these guys killing it at the NBA or at the NFL combine right now. They're doing that because of weeks and weeks and weeks and years and years and years of preparation. It's no accident that these guys are performing well. They're performing well because they're prepared. So you need to be prepared for when those opportunities come. And the NFL combine is set on a calendar. A lot of people's life opportunities are not. They come at random times. So make sure that you're prepared when they come.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. I wasn't expecting that timing piece, but I really like that. Got me thinking a lot too. And I think you're exactly right there. Like, it's easier a little bit when you're an athlete. Like, you have those certain games on the schedule. Like, you know, we're playing our rival. We circle that thing on the calendar. We know that's coming. Like, we know when the season starts. We know when we have to, like, you know, or from a strength and conditioning perspective, we know when we need to be peaking, or we know when we need to, like, be ready to do this physically. But like you said, in life, like, those things aren't on the calendar always. Like, you don't know when those things are going to come up. And I think of that, you know, kind of from a health perspective too. It's like, you don't know when that, you know, that big health issue is going to come up. Like, have you been eating the right way? Have you been training in a way? Like, do you have enough muscle on your body to help you out when you go through some of these things? I was just listening to a podcast and they were talking about, you know, having so much muscle on your body is correlated with being able to, like, beat any type of cancer. So if you have more muscle mass, like, you are more likely to beat any kind of cancer if you get it. So, like, just, like, you know, kind of understanding that you're not going to know when these opportunities come, and, like, being able to, like you said, be consistent and be self-aware to be able to put in that work ahead of time to set yourself up when those opportunities do come, because they will come. Like, there's going to be times when, you know, sometimes they're good opportunities and, you know, you're ready to attack those things. And sometimes they're going to be hardships that come along, but you need to put in that preparation beforehand in order to get you there. And, you know, I think the consistency thing, or, like, as you kind of described it, you know, is something that we all understand, but I think it's something that a lot of us really struggle with. It's just something that, like, we all know we should be consistent, right? We all know we should exercise on a regular basis. We all know we should eat decent. We all know we should work pretty hard, but a lot of people really struggle to be consistent. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to be balls to the walls every single day. Like, consistency on one day may look a little bit different than consistency on another day. But I think the big point is that you continue to show up and you continue to just try to get a little bit better, do all those small things as you like to talk about, get 1% better as I like to talk about. And then those things, you know, they just continue to stack on each other. They continue to compound. Like, when you're doing those things every single day, they just stack up, they add up. And then again, you look up and down the road, you're just in a much better place than you ever thought was possible. And then I think too, like you mentioned, you know, that self-awareness piece, I think, is huge, not just from a athletic standpoint or a fitness standpoint, but just from a life standpoint. I think when you're just more self-aware, like, your life just becomes so much easier. Because again, like, when you're self-aware, you understand, what do you value? What don't you value? What things are important to me? What things aren't important to me? Because if you don't have those things, it just makes it really difficult to live your life in a meaningful way where you're actually, you know, enjoying yourself. You're feeling like you have a purpose in life because you're doing things that actually, you know, you look forward to and you're happy to do. And, like, not having that, I think, is just a really big disadvantage. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, just take some time, like, you know, talk to people, think about what is important to you, because otherwise you're just kind of flowing through life, or you're just like, you have these goals that you think are your goals, but they're not actually your goals. Or even worse yet, like, you look up 5 years down the road, or, you know, 12 months down the road, and you've been chasing this certain goal or chasing this certain life, and then you're like, I'm not even happy. Like, I don't even know why I spent all this time doing that. So, you know, take that time ahead of, you know, before you reach those stages, and just really think about what is important to you so that you end up in a place where, you know, you feel like it was all worth it. And, you know, you're not disappointed on where you ended up. It reminds me kind of that little picture of the guy who's, like, climbing the ladder, and he's got his ladder up against the wrong wall, and he, like, gets to the top and he's like, shoot, this isn't even where I want it to be. Right. So make sure that, you know, that ladder that you're climbing is up against the right wall, whether it comes to, you know, the goals that you have in life, whether it comes to your relationships, whether it comes to, like, your fitness goals, athletics. It's like, it doesn't really matter. Just make sure you're looking at the right goals and then put in the work so that you're ready when those opportunities do arise, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one thing that you talked about that I kind of want to hit on, and it was, you know, kind of those hard days and those, you know, stacking days. No matter what you're doing in life, even if you love it, there's going to be a day when you walk in and you're like, God, I don't want to do this today. I don't want to do this today. That's, like, those are the most important days where you have to say, I'm going to do it. You know, even as a coach, there were days where I'm like, gosh, I don't want to coach this dude today. or this athlete today, or gosh, I don't want to be around this group today. And, you know, from my standpoint, like, you don't get a choice. You go in there and you got to coach them. And the days when I'm like, you know what, let's go, let's just do it, let's get it, those are honestly the best days that I've ever had. The days where you're like, I don't want to do it, you do it anyway, and then you come out of it and you're like, God, I'm glad I did that. I'm really glad I did that. So, like, that's a lot of what training is. You know, I know you've had those days where you're training.
Weekly.
Yeah.
Every week.
I don't want to do this today. Do it. That's, like, the most important critical point of reaching what you really want to reach is when you have those days. Do it. I mean, I guarantee there's professional golfers who are out there and everybody's like, man, I wish I was a golfer. I wish I only had to play golf every day and that was my day and I just make millions. There are plenty of days where those guys go in and they're like, God, I don't want to do this today. I freaking hate this today. And they do it anyway and they're glad that they did.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, it goes back to that point we were talking about. Like, it's not always supposed to be easy. If it was supposed to be easy all the time, like, we wouldn't actually enjoy it. You got to have the yin and the yang to those things. Like, if you showed up every single day and you're like, man, this is a blast, eventually you'd be like, all right, I'm bored. Like, I'm bored. I need something else to do. Like, you're supposed to have days where it's challenging. There's supposed to be days where you don't necessarily love it. And again, like you said, those are typically some of the best days. Like, some of those days where, like, you really don't want to work out, but then you do. And then, like, not just from a physical standpoint, but from a mental standpoint, what that does for you on those days that you show up when you really don't, it's like you're reinforcing that I'm the type of person that can show up even when I don't want to. I'm the type of person that can do hard stuff. I'm the type of person who can grit through things. And what that does for your character and your mindset is just, you know, it's unmatched, because those type of things, they not only are important in training, but they're important just in life in general. Again, like when we said, when those things that come up, those struggles that come up, like when you're the type of person who knows I can get through these hard things, like I've done hard things in the past, like those are the things that really matter, which is why I'm such a big proponent of fitness. Because, you know, a lot of people will ask me about, like, you know, are you happier since you lost 100 pounds? Like, did it make you happy once you hit your goal? And it's like, yeah, like, I'm not gonna lie and say that, you know, I don't feel better. Like, you know, I don't look in the mirror and I'm more confident or happier, things like that. But it's not so much from just losing the 100 pounds. What I always tell people, it's like the type of person that I became throughout losing that 100 pounds. Like, as I said earlier, like, that was like a 5+ year journey. Like, I've been doing this thing for years. So, like, the type of person that I've become because of losing that 100 pounds is what makes me happy. It's not that I've lost 100 pounds. It's that I showed up on days that I didn't want to show up. I made choices that I didn't always want to make, and I made those, and now I feel better because of it. Like, the type of mindset that you cultivate when you chase those goals, those meaningful things to you, those are what really separate you, and they make you a better person, and they develop your character. And then, you know, you look up and you're like, the goal is great. Like, you hit the goal and you're like, that was sweet. But, like, then you look back and you're like, man, like, I'm a whole different person. That's what's really freaking cool.
Yeah. And I don't want people to get it twisted. Lathan was a great person before he lost 100 pounds. You know, it wasn't like he was this, like, terrible human. But, like, he's right. Like, everything you just said is true. It was the process that got you there that developed you as a person in a lot of different ways, you know, and those are the things that have made the journey so great for me to even just witness and get to be a part of, you know, get to be a friend about, you know, and the growth that you've had as a person makes me want to grow as a person, you know, and it's important to have those examples. And the process is so much more beautiful than just reaching the mountaintop. You know, it's everything that you do in between, and it's looking down and realizing, that's where I came from. Look where I'm at now. Okay, what's my next mountaintop? You know what I mean? You're not done. You always have more that you can accomplish, and, you know, your goals are going to change, but just keep going.
For sure. And I think it's, you know, it's that old cliche, but some people hate on cliches, but they're cliches for a reason, right? You know, like, people always talk about, like, process over the product. And I think that couldn't be more true. And I think that's such a critical thing to think about, especially when it comes to just fitness in general, right? Because, like, fitness is, like, you know, strength and conditioning, like, those type of things, like, being healthy, like, those are forever things. It's not an end goal. It's not a destination that you get to. It's something that you practice every single day. And, like, when you're practicing it every single day, you should be focused on the process of it. Like, I'm becoming better. I'm getting more fit. I'm feeling better. I have more energy. My mood's improving. Yeah. My mental health is improving. Like, all these things are improving because I'm focusing on these little, you know, daily things day in and day out. And it's just making me an overall better person.
Yeah, and that's probably another failure on our social media society right now is everybody wants the product. Hey, get me the product. Get me the winning season. Get me this right now. I need it right now. I need it right now. And if you focus on it, you'll always fail. If you focus on the daily process and the tasks, you have a shot at success. You have a high shot at success because you're developing traits that become you. You know, it's not something that you just get. It becomes who you are.
Yeah, that's facts there. And I think too, it's like we have all these examples of the exact opposite of these people who think these things are going to make them happy. Like you have somebody who wins the lottery and you think they're going to be the most happiest person in the world. Those people lose all that. Like I think the stat's ridiculous. I think it's like 70 or 80% of those people end up broke. You have people who go and get, you know, they use different products to lose weight or, you know, use these certain methods and they lose this weight super quickly and they gain it all back. Like you have these people, you have these people who they think these things are going to make, you know, these certain outcomes are going to make them happy or, you know, it's all going to be good once they get those things. But when they happen instantly, you don't deserve it. Like you don't feel like you deserved it. You don't enjoy it. It's not, nothing has changed because you didn't change as a person, you know, and it's one of those things that. Yeah, exactly. Like if it was easy, you wouldn't appreciate it. You're exactly right. Like you have those people who are, you know, those people maybe who come from a super wealthy family and they're given all these things and, you know, they have all this money and like those end up being some of the saddest individuals because they just never had to work for anything. They never felt like they earned anything. Like, and you don't get the full effect of like going through that process of grinding, of, you know, doing hard things, of struggling a little bit, of failing sometimes. And that's what makes people, you know, develop into better people and actually be able to enjoy those things once they reach those goals. Like if, you know, if somebody came up to you when you were 22 years old and they're like, hey, you get this strength coaching job at your dream job at 22, like the struggle that you had to go through to get to that would have been way different than if somebody just handed that to you when you were 22 years old, right?
Oh, for sure. And it's all about, like you just said, you change with the process so that when you get there, you understand what it took you to get there and you understand like what you have to keep doing in order to gain more goals or gain more success. And that's just what you do. It becomes you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I have one more little question for you that we'll round this thing out with. This has been awesome so far. I obviously always love talking to you. But I know you know, you're a big quote guy. You always got the Monday motivations for us all the time and hitting us with the good quotes and things like that. And I love quotes too. I'm a big quote guy, which I think kind of goes hand in hand with coaching. And you know, the fact that you've been able to spend a lot of time around a lot of different coaches at different levels and things like that, I'm sure you've just learned a ton and you've gotten a lot of good knowledge. So if you had to boil it down to one piece of either advice or one quote, like just to give people, what would that be and why?
Yeah. So, you know, I've actually sent this quote out a lot. I usually send it out at the beginning of the year. This is, I think, a quote that probably surmises everything that you and I have already talked about. And it's a famous quote that's a little bit out of context, but it's from one of your favorite movies. And it's one of my favorite quotes. And it's the one from Coach Carter. And I'm just going to read it because I think it's phenomenal. And it's... our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make and manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And so for me, like that quote encompasses everything. And it's talking about meeting your fears. It's talking about not being afraid of success. You know, there's a piece in there about God. And if you're not religious, that's fine. If you don't have faith, that's fine. Think of it as the universe. You know, think of it as a higher power, whatever you need to think about it as. But we all do have something special in us that's divine, that's almost godlike, or that is spiritual or whatever. And it's our job to let that come out and let it shine. And don't be afraid of what other people think or are saying about you. in order to depress that. You know, it's really important that we all just understand that we all have strengths, and the more that we let our abilities shine, it lets other people do the same thing, and we can help others get over their fears by just being who we are. And I kind of mentioned, you know, the fear thing earlier in this podcast, and I think it's just a really great point and a pride of focus is don't be afraid to just be who you are, your full authentic self, and understand that, you know, as you do that, it's only going to make the environment around you better.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that just because, like, I think, you know, as you mentioned, sometimes it's a little scary to, you know, put yourself out there and be, you know, the authentic version of yourself because, you know, this person might not like it or this person might judge you. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, people can understand when you're being you versus when you're not being you. And people are going to enjoy being around you a lot more if you're just being yourself. And then the people who necessarily don't, like, those aren't your people, right? And those aren't the people who you need to worry about. Like, those aren't the people whose opinions really matter. But, like, when you're being your most authentic self, you're not only going to, again, like that quote says, give other people the ability to do the same thing for themselves, but you're also just, you're living more true to yourself, and you're just going to be aligned with more of those things that you're supposed to be doing in life. And I think that's really important. And I think that's really the only way that you should be living, because if you're not living in that way, I mean, I just don't feel like that's a great place to be. You're probably not enjoying your life too much. You're probably living for other people. You're not doing the things that you want to do. And I don't know, that just sounds miserable to me. So I love that quote.
Well, and there's kind of a piece in there too that I want to touch on. You know, it says that, like, we're all supposed to shine as children do, you know, and there's another quote that makes me think of that. And it's, the older you get, the more that you realize you need the people that knew you when you were youngest, right? And they remind you of this bright child and this bright kid that wasn't beaten down by life yet. They weren't told they couldn't do this. They, you know, they still lived their daydream every single day. You know, those people to remind you of who you really are, like, as you were that child and you had all these dreams and these goals, those are the type of people you need to continue to surround yourself with, because they're only going to help you really shine as you're supposed to be, you know, as you're supposed to shine, you know. And I'm really just talking, you know, as a person, you know, the older I get, the more that I'm like, dang, I find myself reaching out to people, you know, that I haven't talked to in years, because they remember me when I wasn't this guy who was on this journey. They remember me as this guy who wanted to start this journey and, you know, push me and let me grow. And so those people are really, really important, you know. So if you're struggling right now, just go talk to somebody who knew you when you were just a kid, and they'll remind you of who that kid was.
Yeah, I think that's a great point there. You know, that's some really tangible advice that people can use right away, and something that they can try, because I think you're exactly right. You know, as you get older, you have more experiences, you have more people who are giving you their opinions on things that you should be doing. You have just more friends around you, you have family, like, everybody's got their opinion on different things, and everybody wants the best for you, you know, but that's not necessarily, you know, what maybe you want. But I think when you go back again, like you said, to those people who just, they know the real you, they know you from, like, you know, when you were your most pure form, like, they know you from, you know, just a different level that maybe a lot of different people who you may come in contact with as you get older know you. So I think, you know, having those people to kind of turn back to and get their opinion on things, I think is super helpful.
Absolutely. Well, I've appreciated this time, Lathan. I mean, this has been phenomenal. I love your podcast. I love what you're doing. And obviously, you know, we'll talk a lot, but if you ever need anything, let me know.
Yeah, will do. I'm super, super happy that we got to get you on here, my first guest. And, you know, I thought this went pretty well. We'll obviously have to have you back on at some other point and do one of these again. But appreciate you. I love you. And
I appreciate you, too. If any of your followers, you know, are looking to figure out more of what I do, I'm on Instagram, Roach Strength, Twitter, you know, Facebook, the whole nine. Just look up Road Strength. I'm sure you'll find it. But I love you too, brother, and this has been great.
Awesome. Well, with that being said, appreciate all you listeners out there, and we will see you next week.